fortunate to have we are very fortunate to have this place in San Francisco on the call today to enlighten us on the topic of journey to roll up the seven of hard work.
Hare Krishna, sorry to interrupt you. Kirpal Prabhu, I believe you are in the place right now. Thank you so much for joining the call.
I'll read a small introduction
about
the
train. We can hear the background noise of the train.
Yes, I'll quickly read some introduction about Keshavananda Prabhuji. Keshavananda Das graduated in the year 1999 as a medical doctor from India. He then took training under a British-born spiritual saint, His Holiness Bhaktivika Swami of the Hare Krishna movement, and chose to live the life of a monk. He took to see the study of Sanskrit under various scholars and also spent many years studying science, both modern and Vedic. Now, since the last 20 years, he has been conducting seminars and lectures in various colleges and universities in India, as well as abroad on various themes. Besides Sanskrit, he is also proficient in Hindi, Bengali and Gujarati and has therefore researched many spiritual works available in these languages. He is an inspiring speaker, a prolific writer and has published books both in Hindi and English. Some of his books in English are The Cheaters and the Cheaters, Secrets of Yoga, Mighty Efforts, Crazy Ideas and Science Fails to Explain Life. After many years of labor, he has initiated a project, Vedic Revival College and Research Center, which offers courses to train his students in the Vedic sciences, spirituality, yoga, morals, and basic material skills required to live a healthy and spiritual life. The aim being to peacefully pursue the goal of human life to understand the absolute truth, God. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the call today. Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji,
is my voice clear to you?
Yes, Prabhuji, but a little bit background noise is there.
Okay, fine. I'll start the class. So I think today I'm going to talk about on journey of towards Golok Vrindavan, and I think for 3 days we are going to talk on this, but I thought let me just share some realization and some knowledge with you all, because you see, the point is, as I have been talking in Charlotte a few days back, that I think all of us are actually going towards Vrindavan. That's our path. It's not physical, but it's a path of our lives. We ultimately have to reach Golok Vrindavan within this life, or next life, or next to this life, but that's what we all want as devotees. But the question is, what kind of consciousness we should have to attain Vrindavan? Because it's a matter of consciousness, and that's why Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness. Nobody can attain Vrindavan on a physical plane. That's impossible. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he raises this question: who is a Vrajvasi? Who is a Vrajvasi? Are there people who are staying in Vrindavan? Is that it? Or are there people who are visiting Vrindavan? Is that it? Who is a Vrajvasi? So he answers the question. A Vrajvasi is a person who have taken birth in Vrindavan. Now the point is, there are many people who have taken birth in Vrindavan, but if you go to Vrindavan, they don't look like Vrajvasis, neither by their personality nor by their action. So what's going on? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, a Vrajvasi is a person who has taken birth in Vrindavan, not by physical body, but birth of their spiritual soul. In other words, a person who has realized his Swarupa in connection to the service of Krishna, he is a Vrajvasi. So, you can see physical body has absolutely no value. Absolutely no value. It's spiritual realm. It's a means to attain spiritual realm. And that's nothing more, nothing less. It's a means. It's a boat. But what is valuable is our soul and the original nature of soul, the original form, what we have to revive. And if we can do that, then we are called as Vrajvasis. So how to do that? Well, one thing connected to soul is consciousness. And that we all know. Avinashi tu tat vitthi yena sarvam idam tatam. Bhagavad Gita says that the consciousness is a symptom of soul, Prabhupada said. So
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes.
Prabhuji, can you want to put closer to me, because you can use headphones.
Actually I'm using headphones, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm using. So it's not clear now?
Clear, Prabhuji, but we want to speak louder.
Okay, I don't know how to do that, but yeah, okay, fine. Let's see. I'll speak louder. So in that sense, the point is that we all have to actually connect our consciousness to Golok Vrindavan. Otherwise, it doesn't really help us to attain Golok Vrindavan. So that's a Prabhupada named it as Krishna consciousness. No, that's the point there. We have to understand how to attain Krishna. The point is not to attain Krishna, the point is how to attain Him. And that's what I'm going to talk about in these 3 days. So, how to attain Him? The point is, the question can be translated into a different question. How to think? Because ultimately, consciousness is connected to thinking. It's all attitude. It's all attitude what we carry, which will help us to go back to Golok Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada says attitude is the key. Srila Prabhupada says that. So what's the attitude? There are many devotees in Vrindavan, just like Akrura, Gopis, or Uddhava, who actually visited. Akrura and Uddhava, they actually visited Vrindavan, and they were asked by, Uddhava was asked by Krishna to visit Vrindavan. Akrura was sent by Kamsa, but the plan was Krishna's plan, that it should be arranged like that they approach Vrindavan. And gopis are of course already there in Vrindavan. Actually, gopis are not going to Vrindavan, but they... But they want to actually leave Vrindavan. So gopis want to leave Vrindavan, but Akrura and Uddhava want to go to Vrindavan. That's what it is happening. And why do gopis want to leave Vrindavan? Because Krishna went to Dwarka and Mathura, and the gopis, they were not able to stay in Vrindavan because they were feeling separation from Krishna. That's what was happening with them. For them, without Krishna, Vrindavan was a place which was like hell. And And we read in works of our Goswamis. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read in Lalit Madhav, Vedat Madhav. It's all said by Rupa Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he has written a poem, and he writes in that, that well, for gopis, Radha Kund was like an open mouth of a lion. The waters of Radha Kund were appearing like the waters of hell, and the cool atmosphere of Vrindavan was like scorching heat without Krishna. Even the trees of Vrindavan, they were frustrated. And in fact, it's almost the same with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he left Navdeep and went to Jagannath Puri, What happened was all his devotees in Bengal, they were living in Navdeep with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he went, and along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went Nityananda Prabhu, and also Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit and few others accompanied Mahaprabhu, but most of them were in Navdeep. And what happened? All of them left Navdeep one by one. All of them. Because for them it was intolerant to stay in Navdeep. They couldn't really stay there, because if they were staying there, they were remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for example, Vasudev Ghosh, Govind Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, they were three brothers who used to dance. So actually he used to sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance, and they were actually singers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So the three of them, they left as soon as Mahaprabhu left. So Vasudev Ghosh, he went to Tamluk, and Govind Ghosh, he went to Agradweep, and Madhav Ghosh, he went, I think, to a place near Agradweep. He went there. So like that we see most of the devotees, they left Navdeep. So this was with gopis. So the idea is, if you want to go to Vrindavan, you can't follow gopis. That's the idea. Because gopis are at entirely different level, and we can't really follow them. Although we say gopi bhartu patkamle or dasanu dasanu das, we are servants and servants and servants of gopis. And although we say we are follower of gopis, but we have to understand what aspect of gopis we can follow and what aspect we should not follow, both of them, according to our eligibility. Just like Srila Prabhupada, we have to follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, do as I am doing. But then we have to understand what aspects of Krishna consciousness we can follow in Prabhupada and what aspects we should not. As simple as that. So we can't follow Prabhupada in its schedule. It's impossible. Even if we try, we will not be able to do. He was sleeping. He was practically not sleeping. And he was traveling all over the world. No, people have tried, but they can't do. Some things we must follow, but we cannot. Some things we should follow, and we will. And some things we should not follow. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada, he once went to a kitchen. He went to the kitchen, and I think one Mataji, she was preparing some custard for Krishna. And he just went and he put his finger in the custard and put it in his mouth. Simple. And that Mataji was really disturbed. She was confused. What's happening? Like, Srila Prabhupada takes custard without offering. And actually that Mataji told Srila Prabhupada that this offering, this is unoffered. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, the rules are for you and not for me. He said that, by the way. It's not for me. Srila Prabhupada was also in, I think he was in Calcutta, and he went to one Gaudiya Mutt. And in Gaudiya Mutt, he was there, And what he did was, he was going for a program without putting tilak. And one of the Gaudiya Math person, he actually pointed out to Srila Prabhupada that you should put tilak. How you are giving lecture without tilak? And Srila Prabhupada was really angry and he said, the rules are for you and not for me. So you see, Prabhupada, in this regard, we are not supposed to follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada many times he even missed Mangal Arati. What do you say of that? Not only missed Mangal Arati, but Prabhupada was playing with Saraswati, I think, that small child in Mangal Arati. So few times he was seen playing with that Saraswati during Mangal Arati, and he often missed Mangal Arati. I mean to say, most of the time he was translating his books in the time of Mangal Arati. But then, well, are we supposed to follow Srila Prabhupada like that? Are we supposed to also get up and chant and do some services and wish Mangal Arati? Of course not. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, would not be happy, even though Srila Prabhupada is doing the same thing. So the point here I'm going to make is that yes, we have to follow gopis, we have to follow Srila Prabhupada, but we have to remember some things we can follow, some things we want to follow, but we'll not be able to do that because of our physical constraints and lack of spiritual strength. And some things we should never try to follow. So gopis, okay, when we talk of gopis and we talk of Vrindavan, of course, when we talk of Vrindavan and going to Vrindavan, the first name in our dictionary, in our list is gopis. We have to contact gopis, especially Radharani. Without Radha, you can't attain Krishna. Okay, fine. So what to do? So what has to be done? Can gopis help us teach how to attain Vrindavan? Of course, yes. The answer is yes. But how much they can teach? That's the question. And how much they cannot teach us? Or we should not actually follow gopis in that regard. So gopis can help us understand what do you mean by serving Krishna. Because that's the secret they have, the service. Gopis can help us understand what is actually the meaning of sacrifice for Krishna. That we can learn from gopis. Service, sacrifice, and then gopis can also teach what it means to surrender to God, to surrender to Krishna. That's nice. But gopis cannot teach us, or I mean to say, we should not follow gopis and we should not try to learn from gopis how to go to Vrindavan, because they are already there in Vrindavan. That's all. If you want to learn how to leave Vrindavan, that's okay, gopis. You can learn from them. But how to attain Vrindavan, that's not gopis. At least for us, at our platform now it's not gopis. For now, for us it is Akrura and it is Uddhava, these two personalities who actually went to Vrindavan and Krishna sent them, or Krishna planned for them to come to Vrindavan to actually help us understand how to approach Vrindavan. That's why Krishna arranged this pastime. Otherwise, why would he arrange this pastime? And in fact, there are so many pastimes Krishna did. Many of them are in Bhagavatam, and many of them are not in Bhagavatam. We don't know what happened. They are not simply included. So which pastimes are included in Bhagavatam? Those pastimes which will help us learn something, which will help us learn how to attain Krishna. And that's why Akrura and Uddhava's pastimes are there in Vrindavan, in actually Srimad Bhagavatam. So in fact, we also have the Gopi Geet, where gopis are actually feeling separation from Krishna when Krishna disappeared. So even in Gopi Geet, of course, in Gopi Geet they are trying to search Krishna in Vrindavan, and in that regard we can learn from them how to search for Krishna in our own heart. But at the same time, gopis are in Vrindavan. That's the point. And they're searching for Krishna. But here, we are not yet in Vrindavan, neither physically nor mentally. We are in material world. And when you are in material world, you can't follow the example of gopis and gopi geet. Although gopi geet is very famous. Gopi geet is actually Ras Panchadhyaya. That's gopi geet. Ras Panchadhyaya. And gopi geet is very famous in Vrindavan. Everybody chants gopi geet. And so even in Kartik we all chant Gopi Geet. But the point is, and it is supposed to be the most important chapter in entire Bhagavatam. Because ultimately we are all searching for Krishna. But here is a catch there. That we are searching for Krishna. Yeah, gopis are searching for Krishna, but there is a difference. Gopis are searching for Krishna in Vrindavan. They have already attained the consciousness of Vrindavan. They have attained Vrindavan, both physically and mentally. And then they are searching Krishna. But for us it's very different. We have not yet attained Vrindavan, neither physically and neither mentally, which is more important. So for us, what to do? They are not the examples. For us, examples are Akrura and Uddhava. They are the examples whom we should follow in this regard. And that's why actually devotees can read, for Akrura, for Uddhava it is 11th canto. You can read the song of bumblebees, the song of bees that's there in Bhagavatam when Uddhava goes and gopis are singing this song of bees. So there is an interaction between gopis and Uddhava, and even before that there is explanation and descriptions of Uddhava going to Vrindavan and actually talking to Nand Baba, Yashodama. So he is actually talking with them, and how he is thinking, that's mentioned in Vrindavan, what he is thinking. So that's Uddhava. But more than that, more important than that is actually Akrura. Akrura is a person who is actually going to Vrindavan. He's going to Vrindavan. And he is physically going and also mentally going to Vrindavan. That's what he's doing. Who else than Akrura is actually better to follow? Who else than Akrura? He is the example which we should follow when we go to Vrindavan. He is the example whom we should understand if we have to keep a consciousness in a right attitude so that Krishna is pleased and he calls us to Vrindavan just like he called Akrura. He called Akrura in the sense that that he planned through Kamsa that Akrura should come to Vrindavan. And that's why if you see, so if you read Ramayana, even in Ramayana, who is the person we should follow to actually attain Ram? General answer is Hanuman. Hanuman is a person. To attain Rama. But actually it's not Hanuman, by the way. If you read all the commentaries of Ramayana, if you want to attain Ram, it is Vibhishan, because Vibhishan is staying in Lanka. We are staying in material world. Vibhishan is surrounded by demons. We are surrounded by not exactly demons, but we are surrounded by of course not good people in this material world. And then Vibhishan is actually away from Lord Ram. We are away from Krishna. And Vibhishan was criticized by Ravan to actually think about Ram and do devotion to him. It's the same thing happening with us. So then whom we should follow? Vibhishan or Hanuman? Hanuman is with Ram. He's staying with Ram. And he is already in service of Ram. So he is not a person to be followed at our level. If you want to attain Ram, it is always Vibhishan. And that is why Vibhishan is a very important personality in Ramayana. Although people don't think about it, but he's a very important personality, and he's a personality much talked about in Ramayana, if you read Valmiki Ramayana properly. So it's the same in Lord Krishna's pastimes. It is actually Akrura. It is Akrura whom we have to follow. So if you want to follow Akrura, you have to understand how he's thinking, what he's thinking when he's going to Vrindavan. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 10. Canto 10, chapter 38, and text 6. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not text 6. It starts from text 3 onwards. So Canto 10, chapter 38. Please, if you get time, read the entire chapter. I'm going to discuss here about Akrura's arrival in Vrindavan, and let's see how much we can discuss. But here I'm discussing this, and now we are coming to the topic of how to attain Vrindavan. After explaining you all this preamble, why I kept this name Journey to Vrindavan, and why I am discussing Akrura. That's why I was discussing. I was discussing so many things before I wanted to come to this topic, to actually make this a good preamble, to help you understand, because I'm discussing about Akrura to go to Vrindavan, and that itself is a funny thing. People think, from where Akrura has come? Why not gopis? Why not other people? But he is a person, and that's why he's included in Srimad Bhagavatam. You see the point. Akrura is the last person who should be included in Srimad Bhagavatam because Akrura came and he took Krishna out of Vrindavan. And gopis were, and all Vrajvasis, they were so disgusted and so frustrated with Akrura that actually they cursed him. He is a cursed person, although he is a devotee, but he is cursed. And he took Krishna away from his devotees. So, is that a good thing? It's not a good thing. Sukhdev Goswami, he is narrating this pastime, and he doesn't want this to narrate this pastime in his heart, because this pastime is heartbreaking. That so many devotees were sad. Sukhdev Goswami doesn't want to see the devotees sad. He's a devotee, and he's a devotee of a caliber that we know from Srimad Bhagavatam. If Sukhdev Goswami would have heard the name Radha, he would have fainted for 6 months. That's the caliber of a devotee he is. He can't tolerate seeing his worshipable deities so sad, extremely sad. He can't see his worshipable deities being separated. He can't even think he can't even think the separation of Krishna and Radha. He can't think that. In fact, even when Krishna is going to Dwarka and he's going to be separated from Radha for almost 100 years, and he knows that, and why would he narrate this pastime in Bhagavatam? He could have conveniently avoided it. And it would have been a lot simple for him to avoid it rather than to narrate this pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam. But he didn't. He didn't. Because he is a devotee, and devotees are merciful. And devotees take all pains and sorrows to actually have compassion on devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness. So he kept a stone on his heart, and he talked about Akrura. And you see, a gopi is actually cursed Akrura, and gopis used to call him Krura, not Akrura. This gopi used to say, this is not Akrura, this is actually Krur. He's hard-hearted person. He's not absolutely soft-hearted. Brajvasis even said, we don't even think Akrura is a devotee. He's a nonsense person. How can he even think of taking Krishna to Mathura specially, where there is danger? is not only separating Krishna from gopis and Vrindavan, he is putting Krishna into danger. Is this devotion? From their perspective, of course not. That's why they cursed, and that's why Krura had to suffer. And he had to be separated from Krishna. In that, so there was a whole plot of that, who was that? So Satyabhama's father? There was, so there was a whole thought, whole that. So he was actually he did something which was actually unpardonable. It was unpardonable. Indra did some offense. Indra separated Krishna, of course. Indra did rainfall in Vrindavan. That's okay, I mean to say, but the whole pastime of Indra, it helped Krishna to stay with his devotees under Govardhan, and to actually exhibit his power and show he's not a simple boy, he's God. So Indra, although he was not having a devotional attitude, but his actions helped to glorify Krishna. So that's okay, and helped to actually give bliss to devotees. So Krishna pardoned him. Even Brahma separated Krishna's friends from him. But then it was a more severe offense than Indra, because although Brahma didn't do rainfall and this and that, but he separated his devotees from Krishna. And that's why it is said Krishna actually didn't talk to Brahma. Krishna talked to Indra. When Indra came to meet Krishna and asked for forgiveness, Krishna talked, and he said, okay, fine. And he gave some instructions. But to Brahma, Brahma came, he offered so many prayers, and you can see in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, he offered so long prayers, that those prayers are very long. But did Krishna speak anything? Krishna didn't speak a word. Brahma simply did circumambulation and he left Krishna. Brahma was not even convinced whether Krishna is pleased or not, whether he forgave him or not. He was not even convinced. So what's going on? Why Krishna behaved differently with Indra, and why he behaved differently with Brahmaji? Although it seems externally Indra's offense was much greater than Brahma's offense, but no. Krishna, in Krishna's perspective, Brahma's offense was much, much greater than Indra's offense, because Krishna is not taking the offense personally. See the point? He is thinking about his devotees. What offends his devotees offends him. What makes his devotees sad, that makes him sad. And what makes Krishna sad, that makes devotees sad. And what is offensive to Krishna, that devotees consider offensive to themselves. So it's both way rounds like that. So in Indra's pastimes, devotees were not sad actually. Devotees met Krishna. Devotees were there with Krishna for 7 days, and they were so happy. But in Brahma's case, devotees were sad. These boys were separated from Krishna. So Krishna took that offense much more seriously. And that's why Krishna behaved with Indra more lightly and more politely. But with Brahma, so Krishna didn't behave lightly. Actually, Krishna neglected him. And what about Akrura? Akrura, if you see from Krishna's perspective, it's a big offense. I mean, because Akrura is separating Krishna and gopis. And gopis, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, gopis were so sad and so frustrated. They wanted to die. Even a leaf of Vrindavan wanted to die when Krishna was leaving. Even a leaf was thinking, I will not remain alive. And that was the condition of Vrindavan. Whole Vrindavan was in ocean of sadness. That's the action which Akrura did. And not only that, Akrura put Krishna in danger. That's the worst thing you can do. You can think, you just imagine what Yashoda Ma would have been thinking. Yashoda, what you would have been thinking if whole life Yashoda was trying to protect Krishna from demons and doing all these mantras and worshipping Narayana. Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they actually worship Narayana, and that's why, by the way, you see a tilak on Krishna's head, forehead, isn't it? So if you see deities, we put tilak to him. Why? Because so it's not that Krishna is not God and Narayana is God. That proves that. No, it's other way around. The point is, though that tilak was put by Yashodama on Krishna's forehead, because she was worrying, if I don't put this tilak of Narayana, Krishna will not be protected. And that's why we don't see a tilak on Radharani's forehead. The same kind of tilak what Krishna has. So if you go in ISKCON deities or anywhere in Gaudiya Math, Krishna has a Gaudiya Vaishnava tilak, if you go there. But if you go, but Srimati Radharani has no tilak. Srimati Radharani, she sometimes have a dot, or she sometimes have a moon-like tilak, a crescent-shaped tilak. But she doesn't have a typical Gaudiya Vaishnava tilak. She doesn't have, simply, that's all. She doesn't have that. So why? Because nobody wanted. Because everybody was praying for Krishna. Radharani was praying for Krishna's protection. And that's why they used to make sure that Krishna puts tilak before he goes to forest. And he remains in the house. And especially after demons started attacking, Yashodama always made it sure that Krishna should have this tilak of Narayana. So when we have a tilak on our forehead, it is Krishna's lotus feet. And when Krishna has a tilak, it is actually Narayana's lotus feet. It's like that. So you see what Yashodama would have been thinking. What she would have been thinking if what would be happening with Yashoda when Akrura took Krishna. That's okay, Yashoda was fine, you know, Akrura, you came and took taking Krishna, it's your duty. But she could really figure out in his mind why Akrura wants to put Krishna in danger. He would have simply said to Kamsa, no, I don't want to take him, just forget it. But he did that, so it was double offense from Akrura's side. Double. First he made Brajvasi sad, so he messed up with devotees. It's offense towards devotees, it's offense towards Krishna, putting him in danger. So what's happening? And this Akrura is included in Bhagavatam. And we are supposed to follow Akrura to reach Vrindavan. It's something weird happening, isn't it? It's contradictory, and that is Bhagavatam, by the way. That is Bhagavatam. If we really want to understand Bhagavatam, it is through devotees. That's why it is said, understand Bhagavatam through devotees. So here is a person, Akrura, who is offensive, who is more offensive than Indra and Brahma. But here is the same person we want to follow to attain Vrindavan. So now, if you read the prayers of Akrura, Akrura is thinking in his mind, I am so offensive as he is going to Vrindavan. I am so sinful because I have done this to devotees. So when he is going to Vrindavan, he is thinking in future that I am going to make devotees sad. I am going to put Krishna in danger. I am so offensive, so sinful. And yet, Krishna is giving me a chance to meet him and see him. You see the point there? Krishna is giving me a chance to meet him and see him. And in this consciousness, he's going to Vrindavan and he's praying to Krishna. You see, it's the same situation what we are in. It's the same situation. We have done so many offenses against devotees. Maybe not in this life. Maybe in previous lives. If you think so, you have not done any offense against devotees in this life. But forget it.
You take it.
We always we always so we always have all these kind of offenses committing in Krishna consciousness, either subtly or grossly, but either in this life or in the next life. But you see the point. If you think that that you have not done offenses, then there's a problem. So we have to presume that we are offensive, and that's and how do we know we are offensive? Actually, Jiva Goswami Sandarbha, that the fact we are born in this world, that the fact we have this physical body, which is actually made of sins, our karmas, this is enough to prove that we were offensive to Vaishnavas in previous lives. Because if we were not offensive to Vaishnavas in previous lives, by the blessings of devotees, we could have easily attained Golok Vrindavan much before. Because by blessings of Vaishnavas, all our sins are destroyed. Simple. We know that. Finish. So it's the offenses which are holding us in this world, consciously, subconsciously, we are in exactly the same position as a Krura. Exactly the same position. It's exactly the same position. And like a Krura, we are going to Vrindavan. Maybe not physically, maybe mentally. Or our whole journey of our life is towards Golok Vrindavan. It's the same situation. And that's why what Akrura is thinking, we have to think the same mentality. We have the same mentality how Akrura has. Krishna will one day plan even for us so that we go to Vrindavan. Now one thing in Akrura's case is Akrura didn't go to Vrindavan by his own choice. You see the point there. He wanted to go, of course, he's a devotee. But there's a difference between Akrura and Uddhava. Both went to Vrindavan, but Uddhava went to Vrindavan on the instructions of Krishna. We all know that. He went to Vrindavan on the instructions of Krishna. But Akrura, he went to Vrindavan not on the instructions of Krishna, by the way. He was asked by Kamsa to go to Vrindavan. And he was basically forced to go to Vrindavan. He didn't want to come to Vrindavan. There was a reason for that. He actually never wanted to come to Vrindavan because he didn't want people to show. He didn't actually. So Akrura was a relative of Krishna, a distant relative. Krishna used to call Akrura as Kaka or something, Mama, something like that. So although Akrura was related to Krishna and people knew that, but he didn't want to make it evident. He didn't want to make it evident that that he likes Krishna or he likes Vrajvasis. He didn't want to do that because he thought that will put Krishna in danger. That will put Krishna in danger. So he didn't want to do that. But then he never went to Vrindavan. So whenever Nand Baba and Yashodama, they came to Mathura, they met Akrura, and not actually explicitly, but they met Akrura in night or whatever. So it's mentioned in Haripanch Puran like that. And they didn't even used to stay in Akrura's house. In fact, when Krishna and Balram came to Mathura, and Nand Baba, they all came. Krishna and Balram didn't stay in Akrura's house because they didn't want to put Akrura in danger. They didn't want to make it evident that Akrura has some kind of affinity for Krishna and Balram, at least externally. So Akrura never went. He didn't want to go, but here he's forced to go through Kamsa's plan, Kamsa's order, and Krishna's plan. Of course, Krishna is planning behind. that we understand, but comes as order. So then what do you do? Akrura is forced to go. Krishna is planned in his life.
Hare Krishna. Not able to hear
my. I think Prabhu got disconnected. I'll contact him.
Do you want to stop the recording until Prabhu gets back?
Yeah, now people can hear me? Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm back. So you see the point, what I was telling. I mean to say, so where did I leave? Can anybody just suggest me till where you heard? So did you hear Akrura? Akrura was... So we should be in consciousness of Akrura?
No. So that's where you said... Akrura did not want to go. He was forced to go because of his...
Okay, fine. I got it. So Akrura was forced to go. Krishna will force us to come back to Vrindavan. That is why one of the... If we can understand who Akrura is, if we can be in the consciousness of Akrura, the same consciousness, Krishna will force us to come back to Vrindavan. And that's how it will work, I mean to say. None of us want to leave this material world. None of us want to go to Vrindavan. At least most part of us don't want. So by sadhana, by our own sadhana, if we want to purify ourselves and then we want to go to Vrindavan, from our perspective, it is impossible. We cannot do this. There are millions of lives of impurities. It's very difficult. And that is the concept of sadhana and mercy. You see the point? Through mercy we can attain Krishna, and not just by our own sadhana. Why? Because our sadhana is not enough to purify us enough so that we can attain Krishna by our own efforts only. That's not possible. And the concept of mercy is, if you understand this whole pastime of Akrura, the concept of mercy, the concept of mercy is, by the way, force. Krishna is forcing us so that we get back to him. He, by forcing, I mean he will actually plan in our life, and he will make such kind of situations that will be forced to take decisions which are favorable to his devotional service. That's what is going to happen. So somebody is not muted on the phone. Can you please mute the phone? Somebody is not muted. It's becoming a little. So like that. So you see that's why to understand Akrura is so important. Now I mean to say almost the whole class I spent to convince you basically that we have to understand Akrura. You see the point, because Akrura is the most infamous personality in entire Bhagavatam, and very difficult to understand because here, as I've explained, because here is a person who is very offensive, and no Vrajvasis want to think about him. In fact, in Vrindavan, if you go, the road from which Krishna took the road from which Akrura took Krishna away from Vrindavan, even today that road is not constructed. So government wanted to make a nice road there and construct the road nicely, but Vrajvasis, they came, they stood on the way and they said, we will not allow this road to be completed and to be made nice. We don't want anybody to travel by this road. We don't want anybody to travel this road. Neither we'll travel nor anybody will travel. This road is cursed. We don't like this road. We don't want to see this road. And that's how this goes, you know. You see the point. Akrura is such an infamous person. Nobody wants to think about him. And here we are supposed to think about him, you can see. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And this is interesting, you see. This is whole contradictory thing. This is, you have to make your mind upside down to actually understand Srimad Bhagavatam, to understand why Akrura is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. What do we have to do with Akrura? Why his prayers are included in this Srimad Bhagavatam? Why we are so emphasizing on Akrura? Why I am going to discuss about Akrura when we have to go to Vrindavan? Why not Gopis? Why not Uddhav? All these things have to be understood in proper concept. Context. And now if you read Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 38th chapter, then you can understand actually how should we attain Vrindavan, and how should we attain our Sarupa, and how should we actually become Vrajvasis and go back to Krishna. So here I will just begin his prayers, I'll just begin his prayers, and then we can discuss maybe tomorrow in details what actually Akrura is thinking. But I'll just give it a start now. As here today, I just wanted to discuss why Akrura and why not anybody else when we are talking about going to Vrindavan. So that because if this topic you will be discussing with many people, either in Vrindavan or anywhere, if you ask anybody whom should we follow, Akrura will be the last person. Akrura will be the last person whom people will think about. And that's why it was very important to make all of our devotees understand. And also, so that when you read Akrura's prayers and his thinking, you will be able to actually now absorb what he is thinking, and actually give real emphasis on his thinking and try to understand it. Now you will understand him and approach this person Akrura with a proper emphasis and proper respect. That's what is going to happen, and then you will be able to understand that why Akrura is saying all such things. Okay, so now here it is the third verse, and this is Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 38th chapter third verse. And Sukadeva Goswami says, as he traveled on the road, the great soul Akrura felt tremendous devotion for Lotus Eyed Personality of Godhead, and thus he began to consider as follows. Now you see, he began to consider as follows. So what did he consider in his mind? That that let's read that what did he consider in his mind. And this is text 3rd, and his Akshayakrura thought, what did he think? And Sukhdeva Goswami says, Kim maya architam bhadram kim taptam parmam tapaha kim va athapi arhati dattam yad drakshyam yad dekeshava. And basically I had discussed this in our meetings, like in previous lectures in Charlotte, but I'll just mention it and then we'll go forward in the next classes. So Akrura thought in his mind, how can I attain the mercy of Krishna today? It's so fortunate that sinful person like me was going to attain mercy of Krishna today. It's so fortunate. But the obvious question is, why? The obvious question is, why I'm attaining the mercy of Krishna? The ultimate end of mercy of Krishna is to have his darshan. The ultimate end of mercy of Krishna is this: Krishna reveals himself to us. His name, form, quality, his pastimes, his own thoughts, his own love, that's ultimate mercy. Akrura is going to get this. But Akrura is thinking, well, why? First of all, I'm sinful. Second of all, I'm going to do an offense now. And third of all, I am on a mission which is actually going to put Krishna in danger. Why is that? So Akrura is thinking in his mind, maybe in previous lives I have done something. This is how we should think. It's not all about Akrura. The point is not about Akrura here. That's the point I'm making all through the lecture. It's not Akrura. The point is us. We are reflected in Akrura. And that is why he is being quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is us who are reflected in Akrura. And that's why Sukadeva Goswami makes sure to quote Akrura and to actually express his own mind, his consciousness. So we are supposed to think like that. That's all. This is the first thought. This is the first verse how Akrura is thinking. This is the first thought which should be in our mind. When we should be thinking this? When we are going to Vrindavan? No. Every second, because every second we are going to Vrindavan. Every second we are advancing towards Vrindavan, a millimeter by millimeter by millimeter. Every second now here. If you want to, and we all want to. So this is the first thought. So if you read these prayers, keep in mind, when you read these prayers, keep in mind, the first thing is, we are supposed to think like it, about Akrura's thinking, and the sequence of the verses is also important. So tomorrow, day after tomorrow, I mention, so I will just show you the sequence of his thoughts. That is very scientific, because the sequence in which Akrura is thinking, we have to think in the same way, the same sequence, and by that we can understand where are we on our journey to go back to Golok Vrindavan, how much we are near to Golok Vrindavan. So the first thought should be, we should think, well, I am on the path of devotion, I am getting some kind of mercy of Krishna. Krishna is planning for me, for this useless soul, to come back to him. He has arranged so much for me. So what I have done, that Krishna is actually planning for me so that I can go back to him. Something I've done in previous lives. It's not only my sadhana through which Krishna has planned all these things. It is due to some mercy of devotees in previous lives, that some kind of service I have done consciously, unconsciously, and through blessings of devotees, now Krishna has given me this opportunity to walk on the path of devotion and to come back to him, in spite of the fact that I am so sinful and offensive, and still I am sinful and offensive. That's the mood. If you miss that mood, we'll never be able to attain Golok Vrindavan. Never. It's impossible. Although we can buy a flat in Vrindavan and stay there, but this mood has to be there. This is the first thought. And the next thought you have to think is, this is 10:38:5, Akrura says, Mama eta durlabham manya. I am a materialistic person. Vishaya atmano. He's thinking, I am a materialistic person. I am not a devotee. This is what is important. That is humbleness. Humbleness is external and internal. External humbleness is your etiquettes. Internal humbleness is to think, I am a materialistic person. Whatever devotion I have, that is not due to my credits. It is due to causeless mercy of Krishna. As far as I am concerned, I am a materialistic man. Or in other words, as soon as the opportunity to enjoy will come, I will take to it. That's why devotees think, I am a materialistic person. Okay, fine, I am doing devotion now. You might be feeling good and okay and stable in devotion. But as soon as an opportunity will come to exploit this world and to enjoy, we will opt for it. And if we don't think, we will not opt for it. Maya will show us that we will opt for it by our own will and not by force. That's how vulnerable, that's how weak we are in front of the forces of illusion. And we have to accept that. We have to accept that we are marginal energy. We are prone to Maya at any time. And that's why, and this helps us to take shelter of Krishna, isn't it? Because we are prone. We take to shelter of Krishna. And by His mercy, everything will be possible. So Krura is thinking, I am a materialistic man. That is what we have to be convinced with. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a song there in his Gaudiya Giti Kuchhi. In his book Sharanagati, he writes a song that Ami to Vaishnava e buddhi hoile amani na manat hoive. He says, if you think you are a devotee, then you will not be able to give respect to other devotees as devotees. Hovai nereya gami. And ultimately, if you think you are a devotee, you will go to hell. You can imagine? That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't say, if you do offenses, you go to hell. If you do sinful reactions, you go to hell. No, come on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you simply think you are a devotee, you go to hell because then you will start committing offenses in your mind. You will not be able to give respect to other devotees, what is due to them. What is due? What should be given to them? So, yeah, I am a materialistic person, simply absorbed in sense gratification, Prabhupada says. I am absorbed in sense gratification. You may not be absorbed now, you may not be doing any sense gratification now, but because we have this strong tendency to do sense gratification within our souls and core of our heart, that's why we should take it for granted that we are still absorbed in sense gratification, but Krishna is holding us. Krishna's process is so powerful that it is holding us in his lotus feet. Krishna's mercy is so powerful that it is not allowing us to enjoy, but nevertheless, deep inside, we are simply absorbed and looking forward for some materialistic endeavors. That's reality, by the way. We are not thinking something and illusory. This is reality. But then there's another reality. Another reality is, Akrura says in the fifth verse, well, after all, even a fallen person like me can have a chance to behold infallible Supreme Lord. That is another reality. This is one depressing reality, that we are prone to illusion and nothing. I mean to say, we are absorbed in sense gratification, right deep down in our souls. Maybe not superficially, but deep down in our souls. But then there's another reality, that Krishna is so merciful. He's always ready to help us, provided we are open for His help. He is always ready to take us out of this material world. Somehow or the other, He will make it possible. He's expert in that, by the way. He's expert. He has a lot of experience. He has handled so many devotees like us. So in Hindi, we say Chintu Mintu. People who understand Hindi. There's so many Chintu Mintu like us. There's so many neophytes, even below neophytes like us. Krishna has made them Paramahamsas in history. That he has made them Paramahamsas, and that's how it goes. For me, it's a small job, and he can do that. This is another reality. There's one reality from our side, there's another reality from Krishna's side. Akrura knows both of them. That's why he's not depressed. When he thinks of himself, there's some depression, but when he thinks of Krishna, he's got a lot of confidence. Here, I'm so weak, so vulnerable to Maya, but here I'm connected to a person who is so strong and he can make impossible things possible. That's what is Akrura. So, you see the point there? We have to, in a consciousness, we should have both realities. If we only think of Krishna as merciful and he's so strong he can do anything, and we miss the other fact that I'm so weak and vulnerable, what will happen is we'll be doing devotion, but one day it will come that Maya will attack us and we'll fall down because we'll not be alert, because we think everything is okay. But if we only think, I am so weak, I am vulnerable, I am so offensive, and we don't have full confidence and faith, and more than faith, we are feeling so happy that we are connected to a person who is perfect. If you don't have that kind of sentiment, and if you are thinking about this offense and always one picture, so if it is not balanced, if you are thinking about this more than that, then again there will be problems. We will not remain enthused in service of Krishna. So it should be balanced, and that is why the fourth verse, it talks about the condition of Jiva, and the fifth verse talks about the power of Krishna. And when we have both points in our consciousness, then we can do our practice nicely of devotion, and then we can balance in our minds, and we can then slowly advance towards Golok Vrindavan. Or let me put it, Golok Vrindavan will advance towards us if we are in this consciousness of Akrura. So anyway, thank you very much for hearing. And tomorrow and after tomorrow I will discuss I'll continue about how Akrura thinks. It's a big topic, but it's very interesting, and there are so many nice points, devotional points here that we can follow in our lives, and we can start thinking about them from now and then harmonize them in our minds, and then we can really appreciate these nice devotees, these elevated devotees who have taken all the pain to come from spiritual world and do a pastime here and teach us how to attain Krishna. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions or suggestions? Otherwise, we'll just...
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, it was such an enlightening lecture.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions, I think.
Yeah.
I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So you were trying to make a point that although Akrura was so offensive, he felt that despite his offensiveness, Krishna was helping him. Krishna was helping him to come to him. And so similarly, we should also think that despite our offenses, Krishna is helping us to come to him. So what in Akrura's story are you referring to for us to understand that Krishna was helping Akrura to come to him?
Mm. So what's the question then? Krishna was forced.
The question is, where is the evidence in a Asura's story that Krishna was helping Asura to come to him despite his offense?
Oh, actually, I can't really understand your question because I don't know, because of course connection is weak and your accent is a little heavy. Can anybody?
Let me just try again. I'm looking for the evidence in Asura's story that Krishna was trying to help him come to him. Even despite his offenses.
Okay, fine, I got your question. So you need evidence of the fact that Krishna planned and forced him to come to Vrindavan in spite of his offenses which he's going to do, isn't it? Is that the question?
Exactly.
Okay, fine, I got it. Now, here is a point. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Kamsa ordered Akrura to go to Vrindavan. We know that. That evidence is there. Now, if you want more evidences, now Srimad Bhagavatam is giving some kind of picture. What's happening? What is happening behind the scenes? We don't have in Bhagavatam now. So what to do for that? That's why Jiva Goswami wrote a book, Gopal Champu. And Gopal Champu is a book by Jiva Goswami. And he made it a point in Gopal Champu to actually inform us what is happening behind the scenes. That is all the purpose of Gopal Champu, that book. What is happening behind the stage, that's all. So, and that book helps us to understand how in all the pastimes of Krishna, how in all the pastimes of Bhagavatam, Krishna is a director. That's his take on Gopal Champu. How Krishna is directing everything subtly and sometimes explicitly. And that's why in Gopal Champu it is explained like that. What the point I was making, the evidence, if you want, that's here in Gopal Champu, that the whole direction, what was happening, Kamsa and Akrura and Kakrura come to Vrindavan, that was on the inspiration and planning of Krishna. So you can go to Gopal Champu, read this section, Akrura coming to Vrindavan, and you read there and you will find this evidence, how Krishna is working behind the scenes.
Okay. Okay, and also, thank you. One last question is, at the end of your talk, you said that if we have faith in Krishna, but not faith in our own endeavors, there's a problem. But if we have faith, if we have faith in our own endeavors, but not so much faith in Krishna, there will also be problems.
I wanted to say that, like Akrura, we should appreciate both her realities. And this is a reality, and one of the reality is that although we are doing sadhana, we are doing practice, but our practice is insufficient to attain Krishna at our present situation. Because, I mean to say, we can't even chant 16 rounds properly. Then what's happening? And that's why we say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He is the most merciful avatar. Now what's happening there? So we should understand this. This is the aspect of reality which we are in. We are in such a useless position, but by mercy of Krishna, we are allowed to do some kind of sadhana. And we are doing that. That's okay. But the fact that the sadhana is insufficient and we are so impure and might take many lives to attain him. This is a depressing fact, definitely. But on the other hand, so if we give more emphasis to this fact and we don't give emphasis to the fact that Krishna is supreme, he can do anything, we'll become depressed. So that's why we have to know the other reality also. And the other reality is that Krishna is so nice and so helpful, and he will make it sure that we come back to him in spite of all our limitations, in spite of all our useless sadhana or the deficient sadhana which we are doing. He will make it sure, provided we think like Akrura and provided we understand both realities. So the point I was making is, if we simply think, so if we give more importance to the reality, to our reality, that we are so fallen and this and offensive, if we simply give to this more importance than the reality that Krishna is very powerful and merciful, we'll not be able to make it because we'll become unenthusiastic. But on the other hand, if we simply give emphasis to other reality that Krishna is so nice and so powerful and he can do anything, and we don't appreciate the reality that we are weak and fragile and our sadhana is insufficient, then also we'll not be able to make it because we will become inattentive to the forces of illusion, and when the time comes, Maya will attack us and make us fall down because we are inattentive, because we have forgotten our fragile condition. We have forgotten our weaknesses. Our soul is weak in this condition. We have forgotten that, so we are vulnerable to the attack, and when time comes, Maya will attack and we'll fall down. So that is why we have to emphasize both the points in our consciousness as Akrura is doing, and then we can advance nicely. Is it clear?
Yes.
That
was your... Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Yes. It's clear. And your answer reminded me of two things. Hmm. One is that the Damodar, the two fingers too short,
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's the point, yeah. Absolutely.
And the other thing you reminded me of is verse 9:22 in the Gita, Krishna will make up for what we lack,
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, you got the point, that's nice.
This was really wonderful lecture. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
I look forward to tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anybody is there or?
Yes, Prabhuji, and a couple of the devotees, they want to ask questions. So can you please mute your phone? Everybody should mute the phone except for the person who is asking questions.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you nicely.
Okay, Prabhuji, this is Damodaran Das from Bloomington, Illinois. I have a couple of comments and one question.
Yeah.
Okay,
Hare Krishna, Keshavananda Prabhu. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So Akrura was actually sent by Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura because he could not kill Krishna in Gokul.
Babaji, could you please speak a little louder?
Yes. Can you hear me now better? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you.
Okay, I thought everybody got muted. So Akrura was sent by Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura because he could not kill them in Gokul or Vrindavan, so he wanted them to bring to his own territory to kill them. That was his plan, and Akrura was that part of that plan. So he was going on instructions of Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura for a challenge. And that's the thing he did not want to do, but he was forced to do because he was serving Kamsa. He was Kamsa's servant. But it was part of the plan of Krishna because he wanted to go to Mathura to finish off Kamsa. So actually Akrura was helping Krishna, being an instrument in the grand plan of Krishna. And the prayers that Akrura says are cited by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the nine processes of Bhakti. At each process he gives the prime example. And the Akrura's prayers are given for the process of Vandanam, not Kunti Maharani's prayers, not Gajendra prayers, not Brahma's prayer. It is Akrura's prayer. And the name Akrura, although he appears to us to be cruel because he took out Krishna from Vrindavan, that's why he's called Akrura. He's not, just to remind us that he is not cruel or cruel. He could have been called a Dina Bandhu or Deyavan or somebody, but that name was appropriately given as Akrura. Now my question is, why do you say he was forced by Krishna to come to Vrindavan? Actually, it was Kamsa who told him to go to Vrindavan and challenge Krishna and Balaram and bring them to Mathura. That is my question.
If Kamsa and all other people would have so would have realized that Akrura has a strong relationships with Krishna, first of all Krishna would have been put in danger, and also Akrura himself, because Akrura was a minister of Kamsa, and many people would have come to know, you know, he's a minister, and he's such in contact with Vrajvasis and Krishna especially, so maybe he's a spy of Krishna in Mathura. So both sides would have been in danger, Akrura and also Krishna. Now the point is, that's why Akrura didn't want to go to Vrindavan. That's a sense he didn't want to go, and that's why Krishna made it sure, because he was a devotee, he was thinking like that he should come and meet him. So Krishna planned, basically Krishna forced in this sense, not in the sense that Akrura didn't have devotion and he didn't want to take darshan, but in a very political sense. So I'm saying, using this force in a political sense, Krishna planned a way so that Akrura will come and meet him. Although Akrura had both sentiments, he wanted to, but he could not. Just like Krishna went to Dwarka, Krishna wanted to go to Vrindavan, but he could not. And he did not, actually. He did not want to go to Vrindavan. He wanted and he did not. It was both. He wanted because, of course, he wants to meet Vrajvasis. Without him, how can he stay alive? Even Gopal Champu says that he made a copy of Vrindavan in Dwarka, which was actually called as New Vrindavan. And on this name, New Vrindavan, Prabhupada kept that New Vrindavan in West Virginia. So he made it, and whenever he used to go, become sad, he used to go to New Vrindavan, and there they made statues of Yashoda, Anand Baba and gopis. He used to stay there and Govardhan Yamunaji, and he was very happy. He was used to just stay there, relieve his distress. So he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but at the same time he didn't want, because he knew if he goes to Vrindavan, all Vrajvasis would be put in danger. If all those demons would know that still Krishna is in touch with the Vrajvasis and they are so dear to Krishna, they would attack Vrajvasis and not Dwarka, and that's how they would force Krishna to surrender to them. And in fact that was one reason Krishna left Vrindavan, because he didn't want to put Vrajvasis in danger. So you see, the human is complex, they have both sentiments. Krishna is both, he wanted to go, he didn't want to go, but he wanted to go for some other reason, he didn't want to go for some other reason. There were two separate reasons for going and not going. And similarly in Akrura, he wants to go, he has devotion, everything, but he didn't, and he want to go because Kamsa ordered him and he want to follow, he has to follow, otherwise Kamsa will kill him. But at the same time he didn't want to go because of some different reason, that it would put Krishna, it would put him in danger, and especially Vasudeva and Devaki, also in danger because they were his relatives, and then it would also put Krishna in danger because Kamsa then would imprison Akrura, and probably he might torture Akrura because if Kamsa would understand he's so intimately related, and then that's how he would make Krishna surrender. It was that reason. So considering the other reason why he didn't want to go, considering that reason, Krishna made a plan so that he's forced to come to Vrindavan. Now this force is not a negative force. This force is a force of love and mercy in that way. So this force is also in a very different sense we are using, and not in a negative sense. So in that whole aspect, if we understand this whole pastime, we will understand different shades, how Krishna is planning, how Kura is thinking, what's actually the relationship, and all these things Jiva Goswami explains in Gopal Champu in subtle levels. So in that sense I was talking force, and in that sense I was saying Akrura didn't want to go. That's how we have to figure out things. When it comes to emotional levels and when it comes to devotion and relationships, this is how complex it becomes. And that's the beauty of relationship, that it's complex. If relationships are simple and one emotion and not many contradictory emotions, then it's not love. So that's the dynamics which Jiva Goswami explains.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. You clarified a point. I was thinking like Kamsa forced Akrura to go there. Similarly, Krishna forced. Krishna actually arranged for him to come because he wanted to go to Kamsa.
Yeah, like thank that. Like that. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Devotees are made to do some unpalatable things. The example is giving of Lakshmana going, Rama telling Lakshmana to go and leave Sita in the forest. This is a very unpalatable thing to do, but he did it, but nobody blames Lakshmana for that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So,
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
I really, really appreciate your very wonderful dedication to this topic. And one thing I like, especially with although Akrura is a player playing a role in Krishna Leela, but we are always relating to our karma and our situation. That's a beautiful point. In that perspective, just in relation to the Prabhu who asked the question, one idea comes to my mind.
Hare Krishna?
Yes. There are one comment I wanted to make. Is it okay? In Akrura's case, like being forced, so in our life also we will face the situation where we when it comes to life saving situation. So in Akrura's case, if he didn't follow.
Oh, it's difficult to hear you. I don't know what's happening.
Prabhu, even mute you when the questioner is asking so that... that's perfect. So now you'll be able to hear and then unmute when you begin to speak. Prabhu, that is it.
It's difficult to hear now.
To save his life, he had no choice. When we are left with no choice even to save our life, then we have to accept it as Krishna's will. Otherwise, because life is most precious and the purpose of life is to meet Krishna, as you said. And for that opportunity, in spite of his not feeling for so many reasons, in order to save his life and the purpose of life is to meet Krishna, he accepted it as Krishna's will. And nothing is more precious than our own life, and our life can be sacrificed only for Krishna's sake, for no other situation. So many times we take the excuse, "Oh, I was left with no choice, anything." Unless it is life and death situation, we should see that it may be Maya's trick to lull into so many other options, in spite of our knowledge and...
Yeah, absolutely, it's like that. Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah.
You know, about this point that his Akrura made his affinity for Krishna known, then Krishna would have been in danger. And I think I wasn't clear about how Krishna would have been in danger. Is it that Kamsa would have imprisoned Akrura and then Krishna would have felt the need to come and rescue Akrura and in that way would have put Krishna in danger?
Can you just ask again? I just couldn't really.
Yes. Just can you just explain again, or more elaborately, how Akrura would have put Krishna in danger by letting it be known that he had affinity for Krishna? How Krishna would have been in danger.
Okay, fine. So you're asking a question, how Akrura would have put Krishna in danger if he would have let Kamsa know if he had affinity for Krishna. That's the question?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Actually, the point is Akrura was in relationship to Krishna and he was actually a very near relative of Krishna, and especially Vasudev and Devaki. He was very intimately related to them. Now the point is, and Akrura was also a minister of Kamsa. If you know politics, it goes like that. I mean to say, if Kamsa would have known the relationship between Akrura and Krishna is so near and dear and so much affinity, and if Akrura would have been going to Vrindavan and coming back, first thing what would happen is all the associates of Kamsa, they would think Akrura is a spy and is giving information from Kamsa to Krishna. Now that, and Akrura's life would have been in danger, and also the life of Vasudeva and Devaki, because they were involved with Akrura. This is from Akrura's side. But then from Krishna's side, if Akrura would show affinity to Krishna like that, Kamsa would have somebody whom he can imprison and torture and then force Krishna to do whatever he wants. You see, this is how it goes in politics. If you have a powerful enemy, then you don't attack the enemy, but you try to find somebody weak who is attached to your enemy, and then you attack the weak person. It goes like that. So the fact Akrura was with Kamsa, it would have put Krishna in a lot of danger, in the sense they would capture Akrura, they would actually torture him, and then they would ask Krishna to do whatever he wants. That was one thing Kamsa could have done. And also the second thing Kamsa would have done was that if Akrura would have showed all his affinity and relationship with Krishna, then the problem was Kamsa could also detect that there is some connection between Nand Baba and Vasudev and Devaki. Of course, Nand Baba and Vasudev, they are distant cousin brothers. They are basically cousin brothers, by the way. So, but it was not so obvious because Nand Baba was living separately in Vrindavan. Here, Vasudev and Devaki are living separately. Anand Baba used to come to Mathura and give his taxes of butter and whatever, and he didn't really use to meet Basudev because he didn't want Kamsa to understand that they are still related. They are related, but they don't have to do anything with each other. Like that they were showing. So if Kamsa would have known that Akrura still has connection with Basudev, with Yashodhanand Baba, he could easily understand, because Akrura is staying in Mathura, but even Basudev Devki have connections, deep connections with Nidhanand Baba Yashodama till yet. And that would have created a big chaos, because then lives of Basudev Devki are in danger, lives of Nidhanand Baba Yashodama and all Vrajvasis are in danger. The point is, till now, Kamsa only thinks that Krishna is danger to him. That's all. And he wants to destroy Krishna. But if all these connections would have been done, then Kamsa would have been very furious, and then everybody's life would have been in danger. Then Kamsa will not send demons to kill Krishna. Then Kamsa will send demons to kill Yashoda, to kill Nand Baba, to kill everybody. And that is why if you read Bhagavatam, the name giving ceremony, what Nand Baba Yashodama did for Krishna Balaram, it was done in a very secret way. Garmoni was being called, and they did in a very low profile way the name giving ceremony of Krishna Balaram. So no propaganda was made, no festivals, and it was made in a sense that nobody knows, and the name giving ceremony was done. That was precisely the fact that the Nand Baba and Yashodama also didn't want Kamsa to know that they have some connections with Vasudeva and Devaki. So if you consider all this picture, it was a very sensitive thing. Both parties were avoiding to show any kind of relationship, because then Kamsa would not only attack Krishna, he would also target Nand Baba, Yashodama, Vasudev, Devaki, all Vrajvasis, because now they're connected, and would have made situation so bad and so uncontrolled to handle. Of course, Krishna can do everything, but he doesn't want to put his devotees in danger. And if Akrura is put in danger, then Krishna is put in danger in that sense, because Akrura is a devotee, his devotee. So it goes up that way also. So like that, that's why Akrura didn't really want to have much connections with Krishna. Is it clear?
Yes, very clear, Prabhu. And okay. did you say that that Nanda and Vasudev, they weren't just friends, they also had familial relationship as well?
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
How?
They're family. How? I mean to say, if you read, Vasudev's father and Nand Baba's father, they were actually brothers.
Really?
They were brothers. Yeah.
Oh, so they were first cousins?
Yeah, like that, yeah. Yeah, they were cousins. That's all that happened. So all these things are mentioned in Harivansh Puran. So Harivansh Puran mentions all the genealogy of and all the relationships of Yadus and Vasudev and Vrishnis, like that. They were first cousins, actually, like that.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Am I audible now?
Yeah, you're audible, clearly.
Yeah, first I would like to say thank you very much, Prabhuji, for taking so much time and effort, regardless so many disturbances, outer disturbances, and you were traveling. So it is like very, very much encouraging, even though you were in the train and so many disturbances were there. Your lecture was awesome, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Prabhuji, I missed one or two points. What was your first realization from Akrura there? That what should be that consciousness? If we miss that consciousness, we won't be able to go to Vrindavan.
What have I done in previous lives? What kind of blessings I have got that today I am going to attain darshan of Krishna? That's what he's thinking. So the realization is, what we have to think like a guru is, that in spite of us being so offensive and so sinful, and in spite of our limitations, still Krishna will give us his audience. And why? Because we should always remember some blessings we have from Vaishnavas. Some blessings somewhere is there. It's not my efforts due to which Krishna is giving his audience, or Krishna has even allowed us to walk on the path of devotion. It's not my credits. And when I'm walking on the path of devotion, it's not my efforts which are taking me forward. My efforts have a tiny role. It is due to not even mercy of Krishna, by the way. The main point is some blessings of some Vaishnavas in previous lives. And that's what, because of that blessings, you get mercy of Krishna. And Krishna is now helping you to advance. And that's what is the first thing we should remember in mind. It is always some blessings somewhere. We don't know that we are doing something in service of Krishna, some small thing, and Krishna is taking care of us and helping us to move forward in spite of our all offenses and all limitations and all defects and all faults. That's the point we have to remember, and that is why you see in all Vaishnava sampradayas the main thing. That's the main thing in any Vaishnava sampradaya, because without that we don't advance the blessings of Vaishnavas. That's the first thing we should remember, and then other things follow. Is it clear?
Wonderful, Prabhu. Thank you very much. The other thing, you were telling that these Rajavasis did not allow to construct that road on which Krishna traveled to Mathura. So the thought I had that if Akrur is like very much infamous among these Vrajavasis, so what should be our mood towards Akrura? What should be our thought towards Akrura?
Actually, see, Vrajavasis are playing a role in the pastime. So for Vrajavasis, Akrura is not a good personality. I mean to say, they, in the pastime, they hate Akrura externally. So Vrajavasis and Akrura, they are playing a drama, and the drama, they hate Akrura, just like a hero and a villain. A hero hates the villain in the movie, but then outside the movie, on the backstage, they are friends. They are eating sandwiches and breakfast together. So this is a movie going on, this is a pastime, and they have to act in that way to fulfill the pastimes what Krishna has come here to do, and Krishna has his own purposes why he wants to give different roles to different people and why different devotees should behave in different ways. So they are in the movie. Now we are the audience, we are watching the movie, and as an audience we know whether it's a hero or as a villain. It's a movie, and outside the movie they are friends. So but we appreciate but the movie is made to help us learn something. So we learn by the interactions and emotions what we should do and what we should not do. But at the same time we also know that ultimately they don't hate each other. They are all friends and they are acting in a movie. So it's the same with us. We know that Vrajavasis are hating Akrura in that movie, in that pastime. Akrura is doing whatever he is doing. But at the same time, at the back of mind, we know, well, whatever we have learned, but our take on Akrura and Vrajavasis is, we like both of them because we understand both are best actors, and that is why a villain is also the best actor, and the hero is also the best actor. And sometimes if you see the movies, the villain gets a reward for acting and not the hero. I mean to say, in that movie Batman, everybody knows that the Joker, his acting was much far superior than the Batman, so people appreciated him. So similarly like that, so for us as an audience, we appreciate both Akrura and Vrajavasis as a devotees, and we learn from them, and we worship them, and we love them because they are devotees of Krishna. That's our take on the whole pastime. Is it clear?
And one more thing, I
mentioned
that Akrura
was because of his past.
Chosen by Kansa, it's just because he has done some past offenses in his life. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Yeah. Can you repeat the question? I can't hear.
My question is, I missed that point that you were saying that Akrura has committed some offenses towards devotee, that is why he was chosen to bring Krishna to Mathura?
So your question is because Akrura did some offenses against Krishna, that's why he was chosen? I couldn't get your point.
Some devotees. No, I meant that point. Did you mention that in your lecture that it is just because of some past karma or some past offense?
No, actually, the point I was saying that Akrura is thinking that I am so offensive, and nevertheless Krishna is giving me a chance to meet him. But then, so we should also think that we are offensive. Maybe not in this life, but definitely in previous lives we have done some offenses, and that's why we are in this material world. But nevertheless, Krishna is allowing us to do devotions, and Krishna also knows, by the way, that even in future we'll do offenses. He can predict everything. So he knows we might do some offenses, but nevertheless, he's mercifully guiding us and he's allowing us. So that's the point I was making. Akrura is thinking like that, and we should also think like that.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, Prabhuji. And people, thank you for your
time.
Can you say that although Akrura has the knowledge of Krishna is God, and Akrura has the knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still he didn't want to bring any inconvenience to Krishna. And that can be our mood also, that although we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we try to be able to do everything to convenience Krishna and not to bring in any
inconvenience. Well, actually, can you?
Devotional service, the question is that in the name of devotion, Krishna will do everything what he will. The devotee should do everything as much as possible and not put Krishna in inconvenience.
Actually, it's difficult to hear you. I don't know why something is happening.
And still, he did not want to put Krishna in inconvenience by Kansa.
Okay, fine. I understand your question. Can you please hold on?
Is your destination, please look around and gather your belongings at this time. Thank you. Salisbury next.
Okay, fine. So your question is that. Okay, fine. I understood your question. Okay, Hare Krishna. So your question is that Krishna, Kansa knew that Krishna is God, but nevertheless, Akrura knew that Krishna is God, but nevertheless Akrura is thinking that he will put Krishna in inconvenience. So how does it work? That's a question. No. Oh, I think so. Your connection is very weak, so I don't know, I can't hear. Can we just Can we just take these questions tomorrow, because it's difficult to hear you? Maybe you can ask tomorrow again.
One point about expression, can you allow expression at the
order? Okay, and it's always 9:15, so...
Yeah.
Stop the style of
okay. Hare Hare Krishna. So whatever questions devotees have,